The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what a big town. Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, and it is the show debut of Ryan. Ryan, who's been training with Brian, who is just a top-tier teacher, professor. You'll never guess this. Brian's off today. Brian has the day off. That's why Ryan's value is of the utmost importance, because he's filling in for a producer who takes more days off than any other producers. I see how much... I'll ask this to the Hive, because we do what the Hive wants, quite frankly. How much grief should we get Ryan on his first full day on the job? I know he's been training, but this is his board. It's his ship.
But, you know, like last Friday when we were at East River 9, he kind of just stepped into the captain's chair and started chiming in, and we didn't even know who it was.
He did. I like that.
I know that he has the confidence to do those kind of things, so I don't know. I mean, I think we just have to kind of judge him based on his performance. If he starts slipping up.
I'm not saying judge. I'm saying how much grief we should give him.
But that's what I'm saying. If he starts screwing up early, it's on.
See, I also like confidence. Like, I want a little moxie. I'd rather you be overconfident and over-moxied, if that's a thing, than under-moxied and underconfident. Because you can rein back in confidence. You can teach a smart, confident man or woman how to reel it in. You can channel that in the proper way. But I don't want to give him too much grief if the audience doesn't want us to give him grief. 713-780.
Based on how the Hive likes to treat our producers, I'm pretty sure that they're going to be okay with giving him grief.
That's more the TikTok or the Twitch, really. The Twitch gives Brian a lot of grief. I don't really see the text line. The text line a lot of times will defend Brian.
I haven't seen that. But, I mean, Alex is just an equal opportunity wherever, whatever platform he's on, he's going after Brian.
He gets Brian, for sure. I do see that Ryan has his hair done today. Now, was that a conscious thought? Knowing that, hey, this is my ship, this is my board, I'm running this bad boy today, let me do my hair. Was that a conscious thought?
Over the last few days, I've just been letting it be, so today I was like, finally, I'll make sure that it looks good.
So not a conscious effort there. I'm not sure I like that. That will sting him a point there, like stat boy on around the horn.
Is he man-bunning? I just see him on, no, I guess.
Ryan?
Yeah, it looks like he's backloaded the hair. I just didn't know if he had it in the man.
That's not a mullet. That's not party up front or business up front, party in the back. That's not a 1090 cut there. That's just a standard
There's a lot of cabbage in the back. I just thought he had it knotted up.
All right. Was the quarterback jersey of C.J. Stroud a conscious decision? You know, I'm quarterback in the show. Let me wear my quarterback jersey to channel the fact that I'm quarterback in the show. Was that a conscious decision?
I mean, a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, I'm C.J.'s probably biggest fan so far. I can't get enough of everything that he's done for Houston. Right. So, I mean, I feel like every time I come in
Ryan,
here, wearing his jersey gives me a little bit more confidence.
See? Okay, there we go. Ryan, now let's learn that you're a producer. We don't need your opinion. Let's learn that.
Well, you know, trained him, right?
Yeah.
Brian trained him. He's going to have plenty to say.
I'm teasing with you. But we are going to give you some grief. Like, I did notice on the read portion of the show that my name is misspelled. And you never misspelled the name of talent, because they have egos. They have big heads. They're going to be very upset if you misspell their name. I don't really care. Just fun. Just going to point out the mistakes, because we're trying to train you to be the very best that you can be. Us ridiculing you, bringing you down, talking poorly about you. Let's keep in mind that we have your best interest in mind. We're trying to make you the best producer for the Killer Bees you can possibly be. And if that means insults, that means insults.
All right. You still in?
He didn't talk. He learned his lesson. Oh, okay. I like it. I like it. He's coachable. I like this. He's coachable, Ryan is. All right, Astros played a baseball game yesterday. They scored lots of runs. They had 20 hits in yesterday's game, Blankers. The offense woke up for the Stros.
They did, but it was like a tale of two games, right? I mean, because the Astros were clinging to that 2-1 lead through five, and then all of a sudden the sixth inning happened, and you're like, whoa, boom, here we go again. But it looked like we were in the middle of a pitcher's duel, and Severino was doing his part for the A's. And then all of a sudden, 2 3-run bombs later, you're sitting there sitting pretty going, all right, we're in a good spot. This is another feather in the cap for the offense. But, you know, some guys kept going. Some other guys got going. And it was good to see.
Yeah, I forgot, is it in our grief given of Ryan, that it's your birthday. Happy birthday. 28 sure. All over again.
Yeah,
happy birthday. We'll did you shave up? Did you shave because of your birthday?
No, I just shaved because I hadn't shaved for a couple of days, okay. So I decided to shave.
Yeah, happy birthday. Thank looking you. Looking good, looking spunky. You have any birthday plans?
Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I think I'm going to try and play a little golf.
That's what I never celebrate my birthday on my birthday. It's usually like the weekend either before or after the birthday.
My wife called, it's basically for the girls. My wife called me and she's like, is it okay if we do cake tonight? And I go, sure. I mean, if the girls want to do it, she goes, well, you know, because my wife's a cake connoisseur. Well, the girls want to do vanilla cake tonight and then chocolate cake this week. I said, whatever you guys want. It's fine.
I actually brought you I didn't bring the cake. I noticed that Judy had a cake for her birthday. I was going to bring that into you and be like, hey, look, I got you a cake.
It's Judy's birthday?
I guess.
Huh.
I don't know if it's her birthday or if it was just, I don't know what the I just looked in the fridge to put my little drink in there, okay. And I noticed that there was a cake, and I was like, I wonder if that's Joel. And then I looked at it, and it wasn't Joel, and I was like, you know what, I have a chance to do the funniest thing here. I could bring in Judy's cake and say happy birthday. Joel, Judy is one of our fantastic salespeople.
Yeah, she texted me this morning. I was going to say, I would feel bad if I missed her birthday. I'm going to have to check and see if it's her birthday.
Yeah, I should have brought you the cake. I'm like, happy birthday, Joel.
Yeah, but you don't get cakes, says, to guys.
So. I don't, but you wouldn't have known that whenever I brought you the cake. I would have walked in with a box of cake, and you'd be like, Branham's changed his ways. Look at him growing up, being a big boy. And then when you look at it, it'd be the funniest thing.
It'd be classic.
It would have been worth the reaction. I'm sad that I didn't do it. All right, 20 hits for the Astros yesterday. Mm-hmm. The offense was on point. Jose Altuve just gets booed and booed and booed, and he hits home runs and home runs and home runs. I love how far the ball travels there. Altuve's hitting the ball like as far as he ever has because, I mean, it's a little bit elevated there.
It is, but it does travel, but at the same time, when you look at least in right field, there's trees, there's like the little grassy hill and all that kind of stuff, and there's fans out there. The industrial park you hit balls to in left and left center is kind of odd. Like, everything lands on like a warehouse rooftop.
Is that a clubhouse?
I don't know what that
is. I think it might be the clubhouse.
You know, you might be right because they, you know, they keep talking about the fact that everybody has to walk from center field to the dugout. So maybe that is it, but it just looks so odd, again, with the backdrop and then when home runs are hit, that you get past the wall and there's just these big buildings that are nothing.
No, it is weird. I mean, it's a minor league park, and it looks like a minor league park. But everybody's booing, heckling Altuve, and then Altuve hits a 440-foot bomb. It's like, okay, well, that's a pretty good gotcha home run from Jose Altuve yesterday.
But again, a big picture for Altuve. Again, three more knocks. You know, I had serious questions about where he was for the rest of his career based on how he started this season. But now he's scrapping it back up to 277. The OPS is 764. You know, he just seems like he just finds a way to just keep on trucking.
Is it that high now?
Yeah.
764?
Yeah, MLB.com has it at 764 with a 277 average.
That's on the wrong side of the bet for me. Brian and I have an open base bet for Altuve. He was like at 710 at the start of the week.
Yeah, it was really low.
He's been hitting all these bombs, though. But good night for Altuve. Dubon hit a 400-foot home run. Like, it's funny to me. Like, these guys who never hit 400-feet homers. I mean, Altuve can get into one. He can step into one, hit a 400 feet. Mauricio Dubon does not have 400 feet in his bag, and he's done it twice now. It's like, funny.
If you watch him swing, his feet are moving. He ends up on his front foot, and he's all over the place, and then he just barrels one up, and you're like, oh, that has a chance. And then you realize it's a 400-foot.
400 feet.
That's like the field, Steinbrenner Field in Tampa or in Fort Lauderdale, wherever it is, and this one. It's just, it's tough. Yeah, I know it's only for 1 year, but
what's
it's tough.
What's the elevation there?
I'm surprised that you know, guys playing for those two teams, their stats aren't just completely through the roof.
Yeah. Because, no, I mean, they're hitting a lot of home runs.
But like, yeah, and I don't know that Tampa has a bunch of power hitters, but the A's have some good young, you know, hitters with some power that you have. And you look Rooker and some of those guys where you're like, the ball's just got to carry forever for them. And they're playing in that, you know, half their games.
Yeah, I don't know what it is there. It says the elevation there is not crazy. It says
it's just super hot.
Just the warm air is leading to 400 feet.
I think the warm air has a lot to do with it because it's really, really warm in Sac.
It's only 30 feet of above sea level, it says. That's not crazy. Like, it's not nuts at all.
But like,
that's pretty
standard. You absolutely blew my mind yesterday with that stat about Coors Field. I just thought the ball always carried in Coors Field for home runs. I didn't realize that left center was deep.
No, it is deep, but it carries a lot there because of the elevation. But that, I mean, Caratini hit a home run too, a right-handed home run too. Like, oh, Caratini can't hit righties. Caratini's actually hit righties the last couple of years. People don't really realize that. They're like pot committed to the idea that he only hits right-handed pitching as a lefty, and like a lot of times you don't see him ever play as a right-handed bat, even though he's a switch hitter. But last year he had pretty good numbers right-handed, and yesterday he hit a home run right-handed.
Jeremy, we keep talking about it. Enjoy the final season of Caratini as an Astro. He's making money hand over fist with every home run he hits and all the versatility that he shows. He's going to be a starting catcher for somebody next year, and he's going to get paid a lot of money that he deserves. But thankfully this year he's done so much to kind of keep this team afloat when they were struggling with their offense, and he continues to do it like last night.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's more than likely in the final year of his contract. Cam Smith, another big night. Three-hit night for Cam Smith. His average is up to 276, 771 OPS. I pulled the numbers today of Cam Smith and his first – this is Israel, listen up. Alert, Israel. Cam Smith in his first 225 plate appearances is slashing 276 average, 347 on base, 424 slug, which the slug's coming. Like, we can see that. The slug is going to come for Cam Smith. He's going to be fine there. In fact, in his last 30 games, Astros Future tweeted this, 495 slug. So, like, it's trending upwards. The dude's figuring out major league pitching. He hits the ball hard. I think yesterday he had three balls of over 100 miles per hour off the bat. Like, he clobbers baseball. It's clobbering time with Cam Smith. So, Smith in his first 225 plate appearances is slashing 276, 347 on base, 424 slug. Kyle Tucker in his first 225 PAs, 202 batting average, 262 on base, 370 slug. He turned out all right. Aaron Judge, first 224 plate appearances. Why didn't you do first 225, Branham? Why did game logs? And if you throw in the extra game, it went to like 228. So this is as close as I could get to 225. Judge in his first 224 plate appearances, 256. So Cam Smith got him by 20 batting average points. 348 on base, so Judge 1 point. And then Judge did have a better slug at 569 versus Smith's 424, but he's older as well. So Cam Smith in his first 225 at-bats, plate appearances rather, is in the conversation with Aaron Judge, and is leaps and bounds better than Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, and I mean, and then when you factor in Hembo had a tweet, ESPN stat guru had a tweet this morning, and this is right down your alley in terms of the percentiles as they rate players in Major League Baseball. His bat speed is 90th percentile. His range in the outfield, 94th percentile. His sprint speed, 91st percentile. Like, this isn't just a one-dimensional guy either. And then when you look at, like you said, his last 30 games, when he's hitting, you know, almost like 320.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are the baseball savant numbers. I do geek out on those numbers. You're right. In matter of fact, I sent Uncle Barney Cam Smith's baseball savant numbers yesterday because Uncle Barney is like, I don't know about his arm yet. And I was like, I think he throws pretty hard.
I mean, coming from third base, too, you got to have an arm.
He's in the 81st percentile in arm strength, but his arm value is in the 7th percentile, which is really bad. So what that tells me is that he probably doesn't, A, make accurate throws, B, make great throw decisions. So Uncle Barney was actually right. But the arm strength is there. It's just a matter of, okay, let's be a little more accurate, a little bit more throw decision. But I think that goes with he's only played, 70 games in right field in his life? Like, he'll get it. I think he's going to finish top three in Gold Glove voting. Like, I think he's got a shot to be an outfield Gold Glove this year in his rookie season. It'd be awesome if he wins Rookie of the Year, though, because the Astros would steal a draft pick.
I mean, that's the thing, too. When you think about it, as far-fetched as it sounded early in the season, especially when he was struggling, but if he has to continue at a pretty solid clip here the rest of the way, but there is a chance that he could take over everybody, and he could be there if he's going to continue to do this kind of stuff.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, plenty to get to. Jake Meyers had his birthday yesterday, missed you by a single day. Jake Meyers, after the game, had some stuff to say to Julia Morales. We'll get to that a little bit coming up next. He's a funny guy, Jake Meyers. I think you're going to enjoy the interview with Jake Meyers. Joe Espada is gaslighting everybody. We'll get into Framber Valdez's start yesterday as well. Ime Udoka contract extension, paying him amongst the highest paid NBA coaches. That's good news, right? We'll discuss that later today on A Durant of Our Lives, what's happening now in the Kevin Durant saga, and Bad Take Boulevard coming up a little bit later as well. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Feels like there's too much bass there. A little too much bass. Too much bass in my headphone. Too much snare. That song was massive whenever I was a senior in high school.
Massive, yeah. Everywhere.
Going to, where was my prom at? Hotel Sofitel? Is that right? On 45 near Bush Airport. I think my prom was at Hotel Sofitel. No, it's still there, but it's no longer called Hotel.
Never heard that.
It's not called Hotel Sofitel anymore. One of the big hotels bought it. Pretty sure it was Hotel Sofitel. Yeah, I was getting down in the prom with that song right there. Branham never had moves. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Ocho, what's up, guys? Tuning in as I try to understand why Tyler Ferguson threw Altuve anything near a strike after he had just swung at a pitch near his ear. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why anybody throws Jose Altuve a strike. I don't know why anybody throws Yiner Diaz a strike.
No, you're right. And I think that, again, you've seen some of the formulas. Jose's so good at hitting the high fastball, too, that looks like it's eye high, and he finds a way to just barrel it up and send it on the right angle. But if you look at Yiner, I don't know why you wouldn't just give him a steady diet of breaking balls down and out and see if he's going to chase it or not, and then kind of pitch from there based on the count. But I definitely wouldn't give him – I would avoid giving him a fastball at all costs. Yeah. And with Altuve, it's kind of the same thing. He's got a lot of flail. And, you know, a lot of times when he gets two strikes, he's a one-armed hitter. He just does that where he just throws the one arm out there with the one hand on the bat and somehow just tries to put it in the field of play.
Yeah, the people will, like, celebrate his infield single when he swings at a pitch 3 feet off the plate and beat it out. He does it. He gets very aggressive too in RBI situations. Like he'll expand his zone even more in RBI situations. Nacho on Twitter, Jose Altuve since moving to the third hole. You want to guess Altuve's batting average since hitting third?
Well, he's been. I think it's kind of coincided with the run he's been on. I'll say 270.
337.
Ooh.
Since Jose Altuve's been in the third spot, 27 games this year. You want to guess the OPS? Since Altuve's been moved to the three spot,
765.
972.
Oh God.
Yeah, he's like channeling. When Altuve won his MVP, he was batting third, and he's like kind of channeling that. And what's crazy is he hasn't had fantastic protection. Like Yiner's been better. Christian Walker had been hitting cleanup up until like a week ago. You really expect whenever Yordan Alvarez comes back that it would really take off. But yeah, that was a good move by Espada. Moving Pena to the leadoff spot was a good move by Espada, although many people would tell you that was Altuve doing that.
But I was just going to say, I mean, talk about pressing all the right buttons. The fact that you put Pena in the leadoff spot and he's flourished. You put Altuve in the three spot, he's flourishing. And they just find ways to cover for the fact that Yordan has basically hardly played this year. And when he did, he wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm. Rocky from YouTube. Why aren't you on YouTube? So, Branham, would you still rather have Cam Smith down due to service years, even though he's part of the reason we're winning? No, at this point, he would be up. I would have had him down for about a month is what I would have done. So he would have been up for a while now. Now, I think a fair argument is, would he be having this sort of success if you waited a month to bring him up? Like, would this success right. be delayed a month? That's impossible to figure out. Like, I think it's a fair argument, and like I'll respect that opinion, and I really won't even disagree with it. I just think it's impossible to prove.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to say, no matter how good he is right now, that if you just brought him up to miss the service deadline and not start the clock and then got him some playing time, that we would now be starting what happened at the start of the season.
Maybe.
Because it still would be, you know, the emotions and learning to handle everything that goes on in the Major League clubhouse and the lifestyle and the travel and all the other things. Mm-hmm. I just think that there would be an adjustment period.
But I can't argue that. Like, I 100% agree. Now, I do think he would be readier
because of AAA pitching.
Yeah, he would be in a little bit of a better spot whenever he got called up, and maybe it wouldn't take him as long to make the adjustment. So, like, I'm never going to back down from that take. Like, I would have waited a bit. That way, it guarantees me that extra year of service. If Cam Smith has the career that we want and he leaves in free agency in 6 years, all of you are going to be saying the same thing as well. I'm telling you what you're going to be saying in 6 years if Cam Smith is not locked up to an extension. Now, I hope that Dana Brown gets an extension done early, buys out some, you know, free agent years. It's a favorable deal for everybody. And then we can not have this conversation, because at that point it would be a moot point. But no, I'll never back down from that take. And if Cam Smith leaves in free agency after his sixth season and he didn't have that seventh season because you didn't wait a month, that's unforgivable. But hopefully they sign him and it's not an issue, and it's something we just laugh about down the road.
I mean, that's what I brought up when we were talking about it. We don't know what we don't know and what the future holds. You hope that if he's on this kind of a path, that they do everything they can to wrap him up before it gets to that final year.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, there is scoreboard watching to still pay attention to, in the fact that if it comes down to that last year, like you said, and you could have gotten one more out of him, no matter what he does this year, if he is in his prime, then it's a hell of a conversation to have.
Yeah. Like, at this point, I'm over it, though. Like, what is done is done. Like, we're not putting the toothpaste right back into the tube. Like, it is what it is at this point. I don't think that any of us are going to change anybody else's minds. And as this texter says, Cam's going to be extended before the fifth year. Okay. Well, if that happens, then this conversation's a moot conversation, right, and everybody's happy. Both sides of the conversation and the debate are
I wanted him to come up, because you know how much I feared and just was loathing the thought of Chaz and Jake in the outfield as two of your three starting outfielders for a team that thinks that they're going to be competitive in the American League. So I wanted to give him a chance because I thought he had more upside than what you were considering. Mm-hmm. I didn't know Jake was going to have this kind of year. I haven't seen enough of Chaz to even put a, you know, critique on him, to be fair. But what he's been able to do has been another huge reason why you're sitting where you are.
Cam in that first month, though, was mid at best. Mm-hmm. So, like, how many games would you have? If you wait a month to bring up Cam, how many wins do you have? How many fewer wins do you have? One or two?
Yeah, probably. So, just like, because Chaz could probably hold water.
Yeah,
right?
And DeZinzo, like, he wasn't hurt at the time. So, like, are those one or two extra wins worth losing a full year of service? That's where I'm at. No, absolutely not. Now, if they extend them, okay, with Branham, that take is it's invalid now because it no longer matters. Okay, great. We're all happy. But again, like, past that, June 19th, Cam's playing great. Everybody's happy. Everybody thought he was going to be good, and he's starting to play to the level that we thought he would play. And this, for a rookie, it's an incredible rookie year. It's a sensation. I mean, just mentioned the numbers earlier. Way better than what Kyle Tucker did in his first 225 plate appearances. Equivalent to what Aaron Judge did in his first 225 plate appearances. Everybody is over the moon with what Cam Smith is becoming. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And he's a freak athlete.
Oh, man. Yeah, and you know what? And again, it's just his personality, his excitement. He's always exuberant about everything going on, that it just kind of seems to be contagious. And you're glad he's a part of your team, because he is. He's fun to watch. And when he has a big hit or a big player gets on base, you know you're going to see it. You know he's going to express himself. And I think that the team probably really takes to him for that, but it's easy for fans to love the kid because he's got the right attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. And they bring his mom in the clubhouse. Who doesn't like that? Where are you batting Yordan when he comes back? Try not to mess up the good run where you're presently on. So after the All-Star break?
Yeah, if that. I'm not messing with the top three. I'm gonna bat him cleanup.
Same. Yeah, I wouldn't bat an eye. You know me. I've wanted to bat Yordan in the cleanup spot since
you
the
did.
Start of the
yep.
year. So, like, this makes it. I hate how we got to Yordan in the cleanup spot, but I think that it is going to be Yordan in the cleanup spot. In fact, Espada was asked this before we found out that Yordan's fourth metacarpal was broken.
Yeah.
Because remember, they thought on that Thursday, whatever, like, oh, he's going to swing Friday, and then maybe we get him back for the weekend. So they were asking Espada, like, what are you going to do with the lineup? And he's like, I'm not messing with the top three. So it seemed, based on Espada's words, although we're going to hear in a little bit, Espada lies to us as recently as two nights ago. It seemed, based on Espada's quotes, that he was going to bat Yordan fourth when he came back. And then the metacarpal happened, and then, you know, life is happening and the Astros are happening. I think that they, like, I want to bat him fourth. I predict they bat him fourth. I think both things.
I think that they also realize enough of just what we just got done talking about with the numbers to say there's no reason to move Peña out of the one. There's no reason to move Paredes out of the two. And there's no reason to move Altuve the way he's been hitting in the three slot. And the table should be set then to get Yordan to the plate with guys on base so that he can do more damage when he comes back. It just makes perfect sense. Now, if we had guys struggling in one or two of those spots, I don't think that Yordan bats leadoff, but I think he probably gets a bat in the first inning no matter what.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they were hitting him. The spotter really wants to hit him second, and he's like, okay, he doesn't really take to second a whole lot. Let's compromise and bat him third. Because this top three is going the way that it is, I think it'll be Yordan. Texter, Cam's WAR is 2 now. It's not guaranteed. Another right fielder would have done that. No, I agree, but WAR is win above replacement. So, like, the 2 WAR for Cam Smith is telling you to this point of the season he is worth plus 2 wins.
Right.
And again, I would have had Cam Smith up after the first month of the year. So he would have been up for a while now. What the year starts April 1st. I would have had him up May 1st. And we're talking 6 to 7 weeks that I would have already had him up. So it's not like I wouldn't have missed out on any of that production. Maybe it delays that breakout a little bit. But I would, like, if we just assume he's worth 2 wins from the start of the season to even when I called him up 6 weeks ago, that still is not worth the full extra year. Not even close.
I mean, we talked about this. And as much as I was an advocate and I was in favor of then, and I'm in favor of now that they called him up, because mine was more roster driven.
Yeah.
When you look at it from a financial standpoint, what that could cost you as a franchise, it's a $10 million plus $20 million possible difference in terms of what you're talking about from what you're paying him for this year, and it's peanuts, to the point that you're going to have to pay him on the backside of this probably $20 million more than he's making now, and probably maybe even more than that.
Unless you get it done early.
Right.
Unless you get it done early, which I think would please both masters. Texture, the only flaw in that theory is you're assuming he would be hitting at this caliber as soon as he came from the minors. Great point in his enthusiasm, Blankers. No, I'm not assuming that. Like, I understand that there's probably going to be a little bit of stunted development there a bit. I can't define how much, but maybe instead of seeing the breakout in mid-June, the breakout's at the end of June, or it's at the after the All-Star break. Still a trade-off that I would make. And again, you kind of lead this division kind of comfortably.
I mean, and it comes down to what we just talked about. When you look at, you can't predict, you don't have a crystal ball, you don't know how it would play it out, because you are correct that if he got real at-bats in Sugar Land leading up to this, at least from a pitching perspective, you're going to see far better pitching than you saw at Florida State, or even probably for the most part when you were in spring training, to where you were getting more seasoning to be better prepared for it. But I still think that he would have struggled early.
And again, the conversation is in the rearview mirror. Todd, the show, this lineup could be pretty nasty. I mean, you give me a little top three of what you had. You give me what Yordan can be. You give me what Yiner and Walker can be. And then Cam Smith, what he can be batting seventh. And then, oh, yeah, Jake Myers is having a career batting eighth. Yeah, this lineup has a chance. Not going to say it's going to happen. But if it all materializes like it potentially can, this lineup can be pretty nasty.
I agree. Think about it from where we were in discussions about what do they need more, a bat or an arm, pitchers or hitters, a left-handed bat. If you sustain this, the second currently, I think, the second best record in the American League behind the Tigers, and now you think about the fact you don't have to make a move offensively, and you might not only get Yordan back, but if you get DeCenzo back and he's anywhere near where he was before he got hurt, now your bench is fortified. You've got another guy that can play the outfield. You got another guy that's going to bring a bat off the bench when you need it. And so your offense gets a couple of boosts in the arm. And then you talk from a pitching perspective, and you just get two of these guys that have been out as starting pitchers and add them to what you've already gotten, and maybe you take Augusto or one or two of those guys and put them in the middle of the bullpen. Now your pitching staff got better too.
Yeah, this team's got a pretty high ceiling. The ceiling is the roof. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to Framber Valdez. What do we make of Framber Valdez's start yesterday? Listen to some of the great brilliance of one Jake Myers that only he can provide. And also the lie that Joe Espada told us on Tuesday night. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The new ESPN Houston app is live. Download the new version. Your app allows you to sign up and enter win our giveaways. That's fun. Hit the go button and you'll see the new features that will include immediate access to the text and call-in line, all of our social media platforms, and our YouTube channel. There's also a chat feature in the app that listeners can use to interact with each other in the shows. So another way for you to listen to the mediocre Killer Bees. 713-780-ESPN. Jake Meyers, yes, his birthday. He had a big game, Jake Meyers. Jake Meyers' home road splits is kind of weird, by the way. Crushes the ball on the road. At home, he's been meh. But a three-hit game yesterday for Jake the Rake. And he got the interview treatment. You know, whoever has the big game, they get the interview treatment. They fight to talk to Julio Morales. It was funny during the game. They were kind of talking about how Dubon wanted the interview treatment the night before, but they gave it to the rookie Cam Smith, and Dubon was kind of jokingly upset about it. But yesterday, Jake Meyers got the Julia interview treatment, and I can't help but ignore how dumb Jake Meyers
I haven't said it that blatantly before, but you know I'm on the same page with this one.
Here was Jake Meyers on his big night last night.
Yeah, I felt good. I thought I put some good at-bats together. It was a great game by everybody, though.
There you go. Great game by everybody,
Exudes deer in the headlights. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, you know what, he's kind of awkward. His mannerisms show one thing, but he's totally different when you talk to him. No, he's not. He's the same guy.
No. Here was the second one from Jake Meyers. He was asked why the Astros had been so good in June.
I just think, like playing all the way through the game. We've had some really great comeback wins and finishing games off at the end, but also we've had games, you know, where we kind of jump out and we keep, like, continuing to add. So I think it's just taking every game the same and out by out.
We've won some games by leading early. We've won some games by coming back late. We're winning.
He missed the middle. All he had to do was say we had some games where we broke out in the middle. I mean, way to cover all your bases, Jake.
That's some excellent analysis. Jake Meyers, it just caught my attention. Maybe it's why we don't hear him talk a whole lot, but yeah, I like that. What'd you think of Fromber last night, his performance?
He wasn't great, but he was good enough. You know, I worry about, like, when Hunter Brown kind of blew up at Steinbrenner Field. I was a little leery last night that Fromber wasn't going to be on his A game because the ball carries, and I was just a little slightly concerned about in that environment for whatever reason. But his control wasn't great. He got bailed out, and Christian Walker got bailed out by an unbelievable double play. And with a guy running that isn't exactly slow.
He's fast.
Yes, that was an incredible right place, right time double play for Fromber and for the entire team. But overall, he was good. I mean, the walks is what really bothered me the most. But I think that he was okay. It just wasn't what we're used to seeing from Fromber.
No. I mean, yeah, he was fine. I mean, he gives up two runs in six innings. Like, that's fine. Now, you know, five walks, that's not great. The three strikeouts, he's been striking out a bunch of dudes. I don't need Fromber to strike out a bunch of dudes, but he has been striking out a bunch of dudes. So when he signs like three dudes, it's like, oh, okay, what's going on? He said after the game, his quotes were, and you're right, that double play was phenomenal. Oh, great play by Isak. Mm-hmm. I think it was karma, though, for Jacob Wilson doing that Bush League stuff on Monday.
You do.
The baseball gods are getting him. But Fromber mentioned after the game through a translator, I felt a little bit tired out there. The curveball, I feel like it wasn't even a 10%.
At least it was in the zone.
He went six innings, gave up two runs against an average big league offense in a very favorable hitter's park, and he said that his curveball yesterday was at a 10%. But, you know, I've been looking at the Baseball Savant stuff. I've been looking at the RPMs. I've been nerding out after these games, and we've been talking about how many pitches Valdez has of like 3,000 RPMs or greater. Last night he was down. And I've learned since this that the reason that the RPMs are down for Fromber or any pitcher that's pitching in Sacramento is due to the Magnus effect.
The what?
The Magnus effect. Now, the elevation there isn't massive, but elevation can reduce the spin-induced movement on a pitch baseball. This is primarily due to the Magnus effect being weakened at higher altitudes because of the lower air density.
But didn't you just say that we're not at higher
altitudes? Yeah, but I wanted to drop in Magnus effect.
Okay, I mean, but
Magnus effect got Fromber yesterday.
How about, you know who Magnus Magnussen is?
Isn't he like a Iron Man?
He was in the world's strongest man competition where he would like drag the 18-wheelers with his teeth and do all that crazy stuff on ESPN.
Yeah, I remember the name. I don't know if I know what he looks like, though.
I mean,
he's old now.
I don't know what he looks like either. I just know he was a massive dude that did all kinds of like super strength stuff on ESPN to win. I think he won multiple world's strongest man titles.
I think there's two different Magnus Magnussens.
Okay.
The one that I looked up is a he's a British-born journalist, translator, writer, and television presenter.
I don't think that's the dude.
There's two of them. There's two of them. Here's the other guy. This guy's is from Iceland.
I used to always see that competition and go, who the hell thought in any way, shape, or form that it was a good idea to put a chain with a mouthpiece on the end of it into a human being and their mouth and say, hey, pull this 18-wheeler.
I mean, they were probably drinking one night.
I guess.
This is what guys do.
And needed a dentist the next morning.
Guys like to flex off their feats of strength. Like, hey, I'm strong. Guess what I can do? And we do stupid stuff. We do a lot of stupid stuff in the idea of impressing other people.
I think I said Fromber 6-2 last night.
I don't know if we – I think I slid. I didn't ask. You must have been thinking it.
I thought – yeah, because I thought he was going to –
Maybe
he did. I thought I had mentioned that he was going to give – I thought he'd give up a couple. I just – because, of the, again, the rinky-dink park. But – I just didn't expect him to be that kind of off in his control.
Yeah.
And there were a couple stoppages and things like that you're watching, and I'm going, you know, how that works with him. Then the one play that, you know, the misfielding play, and then that can go awry and amok when his mind starts wandering with, you know, freaking out on defensive plays. But it was good enough.
Yeah. It was, yeah, he was, I mean, he was fine. It wasn't top level Fromber, but you go 6 innings, 2 runs against an average big league offense in that rink-a-dink park that the ball travels. It was a good night. I saw a tweet that Jeremy Pena's who Yankee fans thought Derek Jeter was after the jump
what
throw to first base.
What a great play that was, too. We talked about the play. Paredes made it third, but then to just I thought he had no chance, no matter jump how smooth the jump throw was or anything like it. And I know people were doing the side-by-sides with Jeter, but what a phenomenal play that was. All I could think about was you and I were both on the side of, hey, don't ever crap on him as a defender. He is an above-average defender. People are like, oh, no. I mean, he had a bad year last year. That play right there just shows you range, arm, everything, athleticism. That was incredible.
Yeah. I'll never talk down about Jeter's bat. Like, Jeter was a fantastic offensive player, but I do agree that Derek Jeter was highly overrated defensively. Maybe one of the worst defensive shortstops in our generation.
But he
that
gets,
played there regularly.
He gets so much accolades because of the playoffs and the flip throw against Oakland.
That was a great play. Heads-up play. That was a great defense.
The spin into the flip over the rail in the on the third baseline to catch the foul ball. It's just people remember isolated plays, but overall, I would tend to agree. He wasn't a great defender.
No, he was. He won 5 gold gloves that none of them were deserving. But he's a great hitter. I'm not gonna poo-poo on Jeter's bat. I'll poo-poo on every single one of those gold gloves. And then, last thing I had was Espada. Joe Espada, yesterday before the game, we were wondering, like, okay, Ari saying that Shea Whitcomb's rejoining the team. Ari doesn't miss on minor league news. So if Shea's coming up, and we knew that this was all happening, like, right before the game on Tuesday. Right before the game on Tuesday, the Astros traded for that Clark dude at first base, which turns out later it was cash consideration. So they're trading for him. Oh no, who's being traded? We wonder if it's Shea, because Shea Whitcomb just got pulled out of the game in Sugarland during the second inning. Then Ari tweets, no, it's not Shea. He's actually going to Sacramento to join the Astros. Okay, could it be Brendan Rodgers that they traded or, you know, somebody hurt? We see everybody in the dugout. And then Joe Espada, after the game on Tuesday, was asked. Chandler Rome asked him a question about, like, hey, what's with the Shea Whitcomb rumor? Somebody else asked him, whoa, is everybody healthy? Not greatest audio here, but here was Joe Espada Tuesday night gaslighting and lying to everybody.
Do we wait to have what?
Has never lost a move.
No, nothing I need to announce right now. Why?
It's out there with Shea Whitcomb's coming up, and he can only come up if someone's going on the IL.
Oh, I don't read the none of that social media, so I can't report anything right now.
Is everybody on your bench healthy?
Excuse me?
Is everybody on your bench healthy?
Is everybody on my bench healthy? Yes. Why? And you guys are.
We gotta ask.
So he lied to us and he gaslight the media. He says, everybody's healthy. He put it back on the media for asking those. You guys are like you're being like kind of dirt, like whatever. Like you're being like nosy and curious and all this stuff. Like why is he gaslighting and lying to everybody?
I don't know, because I mean, did you not know that Brendan Rodgers during the game at some point
it happened
tweaked something?
It happened in batting practice, I think Tuesday.
I thought it was down underneath during the game. I had heard
in batting practice either before Monday or Tuesday.
But regardless, either way, by post game, you know, right? Yeah, you know that he's uncomfortable enough.
Somebody's on their way.
Right. You got to be, you're only kidding yourself if you don't think that we all already know that something has to change. Some move has to be made. And then he plays dumb and coy.
Not only did he play dumb and coy, but he turned it back around on them. Like, how dare you ask me this stupid question? I don't social media. I have no idea about this stuff that you're talking about. It's just weird. Like, I want to start believing the Astros because, like, I think Dana Brown's doing a good job. I think Joe Espada's doing a bang-up job. Like, it feels like they're kind of learning their lesson from these injuries. Hey, we're going to do more imaging. Hey, we're going to put in our game notes, like, the latest updates on these players. So it's like, okay, they're doing some stuff that I like. Some changes are being made that, okay, this is good. This is positive change. And then Joe Espada, it's about Brendan Rodgers going on the IL. This isn't Yordan. This isn't Kyle Tucker. This isn't one of your best players. This is not like this huge, stupid, like crazy information. Why don't you just be like, we're not ready to announce a move yet? And then it's over. Like, you don't even have to give me the answer.
Right.
I just don't understand the lying and the gaslighting. We're not ready to announce a move yet. End of story.
See, I think that's where you're offending people because you're actually treating them like they're stupid. Like the Jake Meyers quotes, because of the fact that you're talking down to these people as if, hey, whatever I say goes and there's nothing to see here. When we already know that there's a player on the way, so there is something to see here. And you're right. Honesty, best policy, just say, hey, we're not ready to announce anything yet. We're contemplating some things. Sweet. I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with that.
Yeah. Like, I don't need you to give me all the information. I'm not even saying I deserve it or I want it. You know what I want? I don't want you to lie and gaslight. That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Joe, hey, Joe Espada, hey, we're not ready to announce a move yet. We want more information. End of story. Like, that's it. Like, no one's even going to ask you a follow-up to that. Like, and if they do, we're not ready to announce anything. That's it.
Exactly. Between, you know, juggling what you were going to do with your pitching staff, juggling what you were going to do with your position players, no one is going to take issue with and have any kind of ill feelings towards you if you just say, when it's time, we'll let you know.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And it's a dude that's been placed on the IL that's a bench guy. Like, it's not even a big deal. Like, why are you even lying about it? It makes no sense to me. And then he gaslights it and turns it around on the media. Texter Wilson playing in a rinky-dink park on a last-place team doesn't deserve to be Rookie of the Year. Sounds good to me. Texter Myers received interview tutorials from Crash Davis. Crash Davis was more about, like, the cliches. Jake Myers is more like deer in headlights.
I want to say, I don't, Cam is very short answered.
He's very short, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think I think he's always worried about saying too much.
Probably.
But yeah, from Jake's perspective, that was pretty much, I mean, not even textbook. I mean, that was a no-brainer in a lot of ways.
Trying to win games. We get out ahead, and sometimes we come back late. Thank you, Jake. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Ime Udoka locked up by the Rockets. Where would they be without him? And also, where does he rank amongst the best coaches in the NBA? 713-780-ESPN. How about the best coaches in Houston? Where does he rank on that list, too? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ime locked up. He is a Houston Rocket head coach for the foreseeable future, it appears. A long-term deal that will pay him amongst the highest paid coaches in the NBA. This is from Shams. Where would the Rockets be without Ime Udoka?
You know, I was thinking about this ever since he was rumored and then pursued by the New York Knicks to be a candidate there. That as much as, look, people want to give me a hard time all the time about the organization and Rafael and all the things because of my experiences there. They've done a good job in a lot of ways. But I don't think that this turnaround happens this quickly without Ime Udoka. I don't think that there was, of all the candidates they were looking at and all the candidates they were considering back when they got Ime, they won the coach lottery. They got the best candidate out there in the best situation for this organization. It might not even have been Ime's best opportunity, but the fact that he got it and was able to take this young core that was running amok and kind of got them all situated and on the right path with some guidance and some structure was huge. And if you don't have him, I don't believe they're the two seed this last season. I don't believe that they would have had 93 wins in the last 2 years. You would have seen growth from some of the other coaches that might have been on the list they were considering. You wouldn't be anywhere close to where you are now. And now one of your calling cards with free agents and to go out and pursue, whether it's Kevin Durant or younger players or free agents or even just like fringe players that are going to help your squad, there's lots of articles that are stating guys want to play for this guy.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge.
Yeah, for Tito, the Rockets are a big boy organization. Like, they've been acting that way ever since they signed Ime Udoka. The Silas thing, no, not so much. And maybe they had some growing pains along the way. Maybe they were there just for the rebuild, kind of like Nick Caserio did with David Culley, and he couldn't co-sign David Culley through the rebuild for another year because it was so bad that he just promotes Lovie Smith basically as an interim head coach for a year. And then when you're really ready to win, you go out and hire the coach that you really think can take you there. It was pretty similar to the Silas thing. Like, Silas, wasn't a great spot because Harden immediately is demanding a trade. But everybody in Houston knew you weren't winning with Silas. When Silas was fired, the majority of the city wanted Ime Udoka. This show wanted Ime Udoka. And that was the start of this organization acting like a big boy franchise, like a well-run organization. And this is what you do whenever you have a coach that is one of the best in the NBA. Ime, what do you need? Here's a contract that pays you amongst the highest paid coaches in the NBA. We know the Knicks are interested, so we're going to take care of you, make you happy, make you well paid. I mean, it's a layup. It's an easy decision for the Houston Rockets. I'm glad that, you know, they're smart enough to do it.
And I think the other part of that, Jeremy, is much again like when we talked about when D'Amico came to the Texans, because I've made the comparisons for years now. When both teams were struggling and before CJ got there and before D'Amico got there, the Texans and the Rockets were on parallels and they weren't great at the time. But you got the right people at the right time, just like when D'Amico stabilized everything there. And whether you say that D'Amico's the loudest voice in the room now that carries the most clout or it's because he and Nick have a good working relationship, I firmly believe in the Rockets' case that this is now, from a basketball perspective, all about Ime Udoka. And Rafael's going to do whatever he has to do to kind of supplement and help what Ime wants and what they both think that they need to get to kind of get to the next level. But he came in with all that experience and working under Pop and as an ex-player as well, which you gain respect with players that way. And then because he took the Celtics to the finals and he had experience in that way too, he just continued to gain the clout that he needed so that with a young team especially, because there were guys when you had McHale, there were guys, young guys, didn't know that Kevin McHale played NBA basketball. They had no clue. This is a guy that relates to all the younger players in the league too, but he was able to direct them to take them to the next level. Mm-hmm. And now it just seems clearly to me that he is the loudest voice in the room and he is the guy you want to captain your ship.
Yeah, you need to be supplementing Ime whatever Ime wants. Like he is the face. Like he needs to be the alpha. Rafael Stone, Ime, what do you want to do? Like you want to trade Jalen Green for Kevin Durant? Okay, Jalen Green might be the guy I drafted. He might be my boy. You're telling me Kevin Durant is going to help us win more than Jalen Green? Okay, coach, I got you. I'm going to help out. And I think that's one area that Caserio has been good.
Yeah.
Like, Caserio has been there to supplement D'Amico Ryans. And, like, he talks about it. He talks about it all the time, which I tip my cap to that. Nick Caserio can be a little bit arrogant at times, can be a little, you know, smartest guy in the room-ish. Mm-hmm. But I do believe him whenever he says that I'm just a spoke on the wheel. I'm here to help D'Amico Ryans.
See, and it's parallel in both cases to where you got to read the room. As a general manager, in both cases, I think that if there was a knock on the owner's door and the coach came in and said, I got a problem, there's no doubt in my mind in both situations, no matter what they've done previously, and I think it's more so with the Rockets than with the Texans because I think Nick has done a lot, but I think that the owner's going to side with the head coaches because they already know, hey, these guys, they're it. They're it in terms of their profession and how it stands right now, currently, the state of their leagues. They are well-respected. They are in complete control, and they know what they're doing.
Yep. Texter, I underestimated him. He's a good coach. Next step for him is to win the big game in a couple of years. That's going to be that's his next rung on the ladder. When it happens, unknown. But went there with the Celtics, didn't win it.
But you know that he knows that, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he knows that. And so that's why when he talks about phases, he knows that his ultimate grade is going to depend on can you get them to that next level that he's been at before that they haven't.
Yep.
But I think to your point about Tillman and Patrick, but the bigger thing is from an ownership group is give them what they need. They went out, and whether they overpaid a little bit or gave an extra year or not, they went out and got one of the key pieces in Steven Adams to stay. And that's something that they had to do, that in the Les Alexander era, he might have been more likely to say, hey, everybody wants to play here. If he wants to go somewhere else, we can find someone else. They were wise enough to go, we may overpay a little bit or pay a little extra. He's worth it. Same thing with Ime. we're not going to run any more chances of having someone else try and entice our head coach. In order to kind of solidify everything so there's no questions asked, give it to him, lock him up, set his roots, and let him go.
Yeah, it's a real organization. It's a well-run organization. Don't play games with him. Vermont Ryan saying to get off your phone. Get off. That's what Vermont said. I didn't see you on your phone, but Vermont said that you're on your phone, and I'm relaying the message. If you're going to run the board for the Killer Bees, you don't play on your phone. You run the board. You get ready for audio.
That's AJ stuff.
On ESPN.
AJ does that.
No, you do that during the commercial breaks. You don't do it while we're on the air and while we're talking. You're looking for something to aid the show, wondering how you can help out the talent here. Playing with your phone while the talent's talking? Come on, that's disrespectful.
You're
Ryan.
Right. Sorry, I'll get off Candy Crush.
Just don't Stephen A it. Just don't go straight solitaire.
Yeah. It's the worst game to play. Like, I don't care that he was playing on his phone during the game. I care that he was playing solitaire.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, like play a little WGT golf or something, or play some online poker. Like, he's playing solitaire. That's the lamest thing I've ever heard. It's ridiculous.
It is very weak.
713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener. Be scrolling TikTok. That's even better. Where does Ime rank amongst the big three pro coaches in Houston? So Espada, D'Amico, Ime. What is your top three? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
The Dale Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
There is a speckle of donut from Lance's time from the mic, just a piece of donut on the microphone. I don't normally get grossed out. This is woof. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm looking at you, and then I catch something in my eye. I'm like, is that in my eye? And I look down, oh, that's a piece of donut. Lance is the disgusting member of that group.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.